Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, guests, books, workshops, helping lead a more positively minded life. Had a wonderful experience the other day. We had this workshop that we were doing for WBAI, where all of you who were there wound up, without you knowing it, but sending a significant support to WBAI, because we're real grateful for it. Want to thank all of you who participated. I got a chance to see you and to get a very interesting perception, because, you know, it's always interesting when you meet people for the first time. How do you get to know who they are and what they're like? Well, an interesting article appeared in the New York Times Wednesday, June 17th, which had to do with a new method of being interviewed for a job. And it says, let me read this to you. It says, no doubt some job seekers' worst interview nightmare, an hour on the phone answering questions posed not by a hiring manager, but by a psychologist very often disguised as a human resource person. Or even more frightening, several hours in an office with a psychologist quietly filling out multiple choice tests or even performing workshop stimulations with paid actors, which is what they do, workplace stimulations. They have paid actors who come in, and they have you at a job, and then they say to you, okay, what if this happened? What would you do? And the actor or actor, you know, they could start screaming, and you've got to deal with it. Now, why? Because many companies, when they hire somebody, you may not realize, it costs a lot of money to hire a person. To hire a person alone, you have to hire them. You have to train them. You have to have them sit there. You have to have somebody train them. It costs thousands of dollars just to hire somebody, even if you fire them the next day. The groundwork, what you have to do just to get a person there. So people are being very careful, especially in an economy where things are tough. The hirers have become much more sophisticated, and they're also, because of political incorrectness, not allowed to ask certain questions like, how old are you? Are you married? Or are you going to have a baby? There's questions they can't ask you because of discrimination, so they've got to depend on their ability to perceive potential trouble in you or in whoever they're hiring. And sometimes it's very difficult. So, of course, since most people are not very good at reading other people, these people hire people who are good at reading people. Now, wouldn't you like the ability to know people? Let me see. No, I just wanted to cut down the noise. So isn't it possible to learn about, there's an extrinsic noise happening here, my friends. I'm just going to get rid of that for a moment. I'm sorry, I'm dealing with that. Okay, so wouldn't it be nice to be able to learn about people the first time you meet them? So what happens? What happens when you meet somebody for the first time and you ask them questions? Now, is it ever a chance that you're asking people questions just because you're curious? Right? Let's say you want to know who somebody is. Are you ever asking just because you're curious? A friend of mine tells me a story about when she goes swimming, very often in the changing room, she will strike up conversations with other people in the changing room. I have another friend who travels on long train rides, and she says whenever she's on the train ride, she strikes up a conversation with somebody. Now, what is the motive of your conversation? Why are you talking to someone else? You're talking to someone else because you're looking for potential. You're looking for a possibility of one of three things. Could this person be a friend? An ally? That's a question. is there somebody here who's sitting on this train or who's in this locker room or wherever this is, who is, who could be a friend? So that's one thing you may look for. Or, if you're in a mating mood, is this a prospective mate? Is this somebody who might be a lover or a husband or a wife? Right? Not that they ever go together. And then the other one is it possible that this is somebody I could do business with? Am I talking to somebody who may have some business idea for me? Like, for example, maybe they'll lead me to a job, or maybe they'll do business with me, or maybe they'll buy something from me, or maybe they'll sell me something I want. So when you listen to someone, when you have your casual conversation with someone, there seems to always be a motive. Try to think of a time that you've ever spoken to anyone when there is no personal interest. None. You're just curious. So a father sees his daughter brings home a boy, a young man. And she's 15. She brings home this young man, and the young man's waiting for the girl to come down the stairs. And the father's sitting there with the young boy, and he says, "So tell me about yourself." Do you think the father is just curious about the boy? The boy knows that whatever he answers will determine a great deal in his life. It will determine whether he's even able to see this girl, or how the father's going to think about him, or how suspicious or restricting the father will be. So the boy answers questions nicely. "Oh, I just study a lot." And, you know, he makes up stories to try to please the father. Because rarely is someone just asking about you. A very interesting point of narcissism, which could be loosely defined as being involved in your own world, you know, loosely defined. Narcissistic people love to talk about themselves. They talk about themselves and hope they have an audience. They want to talk about themselves, and they don't care if the person listening is using it or not using it. They just want to talk about themselves. Andrew Carnegie, in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, his advice to you is always never talk about yourself because nobody cares. He says, let the other person talk about themselves, and they will trust you the more you let them talk about themselves. Because people, if they talk about themselves, they consider you're a very good friend. I have somebody I know, an author, Margot Berwin, who is liked by everybody. When I asked Margot, I said, Margot, how is it that everybody likes you? She says, because I let them talk. She says, I encourage them to talk about things. I pay attention. I smile. She says, and when I do that and they talk about themselves, they feel terrific. She said, so I am everybody's lost best friend. She said, people see me and they think like they've been waiting for me to come along for years. She said, but all I do is listen. Another good young friend, Michael. Michael, he says he's like this also. He's one of these guys that everybody thinks is so special. I said, Michael, what's your secret? He said, Andrew Carnegie. Or is it Dale Carnegie? Dale Carnegie. Andrew was the other guy with the trains, right? Dale Carnegie said, you know, just let people talk. Let people listen. So in your life, when you address somebody, when you listen to somebody, you're trying to learn something about them. And today, I want to teach you things you can learn about somebody, tricks. Tricks of, well, for me, it's easy. See, for me, I could talk to somebody, well, you know me because you hear me on the radio. I talk to somebody on the radio and I could hear inflections in their voice that give me signals. Those of you who are with me during the weekend, you saw how I work with that, how I see the movement of people, and I work with the movement of people that I, as I sense it. So I sense things about people, but probably so do you. And if you ever got to be my age with as much experience as I had with people, you would trust your judgment about people too. And there are a few things that you learn about life. For example, there's one called too good to be true. Too good to be true is when you meet something which seems so fantastic, so fabulous, and so perfect, and it's right at the beginning, and it just couldn't be better. Too good to be true. Those you got to be careful for. When it's too good to be true, it's not. It usually is not. You learn that over time, but it's hard not to get excited. Every time you meet somebody, you are saying to yourself the following three things. You're either saying absolutely not, definitely yes, or possibly. Absolutely not. I don't want to know this person. I don't want this person anywhere in my life. Right? Definitely yes. Oh, I want to know this person. This is a person I want in my life. Possible means, you know, maybe I should just push this a little further. Maybe we should get together for tea or something. What do you use to judge people? What do you use? Well, what do you look at? You look at their appearance, right? How do they look? Dirty and grungy and smelly, right? They attract dirty and grungy and smelly. Right? I mean, what do they attract? What does dirty, grungy, and smelly attract? Certain people. Do you like dirty, grungy, smelly people? I mean, somebody must like dirty, grungy, smelly people because dirty, grungy, smelly people, well, they're usually loners. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's like a porcupine. It's like a skunk. You know? It's like if I could put out this ink, or this thing, no, that's not a skunk, that's an octopus. If I could put out this thing that keeps you at a distance, this kind of smell that keeps you away, then I'll just keep you away and you'll leave me alone. Because I'm a vulnerable skunk. So I guess dirty, smelly people are vulnerable people who are saying, please leave me alone. So that's one, that's a message we get from people. Let's not criticize them. Let's just consider they're doing things that nature taught them, like being a porcupine. You put up your quills because you have a soft belly, you know? So appearance. Appearance kind of means a lot to you. Now, to some people, if you're in a mating mood, appearance means a lot. Attractiveness, virility, you know, mating ability, that kind of thing. That's one part of appearance. Appearance is just how much of a good mate would this be if this person and I met, would they be somebody who would help me keep the human race going because they're going to be good for mating and they're going to bear good children. Right? That's one. We pick that up. We don't even think about it. We get pheromones. We have smells that help us determine that. We could smell another person's immune system. We could tell how good their immune system is by the way they smell without our even knowing it. We could pick our mates according to appearance. Do you like large breasts? Do you like on men or women? Do you like, you know, what do you like? Do you like lips that look a certain way, faces that are symmetrical? What are these things that you like about a person? Those are all there, right? Those are there. Appearances count. How about a smile? If the person has a smile on their face, do you like that? That's part of appearance. What if they don't have a smile? Well, then we move to attitude. Remember the thing about the lower lip? This is completely off the subject. Everybody out there, protrude your lower lip only. And just leave your lower lip out and relax for a minute. It automatically makes you feel like you're 5 years old. Right? Lower lip over your top lip. So cute. Attitude. Positive attitude, negative attitude. Sometimes we're attracted to a negative attitude. Somebody comes along and they're complaining. I hate this weather. I hate the stars. I hate the moon. I hate the police. I hate the radio. I hate negativistic people. And you hear them and you join them in their negativism and you say, yes, yes, I hate. And they say, I hate. And you say, I hate. And the two of you say, definite possibility we could get together. Right? Because you're somebody who likes that. Or there's the positive person. Now, if you're somebody who is a depressed person, generally you will like a positive person because they bring energy with them. So people are attracted to energy. Here's a major secret about being attractive. You don't have to look good. You don't have to be good. You don't have to have, you just got to have energy. It is the absence of energy that people find detracting. They're afraid they're going to get pulled into your lack of energy. That's why depression is so unattractive to people. Because it's like, I need some energy, and now you're going to take mine. So, very important. Now, also eye contact, very important. Some people don't like eye contact. Some people don't want to make eye contact. But eye contact is another way to say, I want to greet you, I want to be with you, you know? People who don't want to make eye contact, they're basically saying, I prefer aloneness. I prefer it. But I recently saw a group of 6 people who did not like to make eye contact, and they got together. And it was amazing when they got together how friendly they were, all knowing that the other one didn't want to make eye contact. This was during the workshop. Which, by the way, I would love to receive some emails for any of you participants who were there, and there were 50 of you. And I know many of you are listening. Send me an email. Let me know your experience. Then there are other things we do when we check out our mate. We check out commonality. You could tell by their accent, by their voice, by their vocabulary, by their choice of words, if there's a basic heritage commonality. You come from the same neighborhood. You come from the Bronx. You come from where you come from, and you listen for that. And you listen for commonality, and that means, you know, possible friend, possible somebody I could trust. You're also very often attracted to something that's not common, like something that's new or something that's different, like you might find somebody with a British accent very attractive or an Australian accent very attractive. If they have an accent, you might say, oh, that's new and exciting, I find that attractive. And you might find that attractive. You're going to learn a lot more today, tell you. You also ask yourself a question when you meet a person. Is that a crazy person? This is a question that people ask. This is a question that employers ask. Now, I've interviewed hundreds of people in my life. Crazy is a big word, but depressed. 95% of the people that I've ever interviewed were depressed when they came in for the interview. They try to cover it, but there's a depression. You're job hunting. You're trying to get approved. You're on the bottom of, you know, you're trying hard. You want to find a job. You're depressed, and you try to hide that depression. Depression is one of those things that we check. Well, if you're meeting somebody for the first time, one of the things you want to know, are they crazy or not? Here's two of the ways you could judge. Is what they're saying and what they're doing appropriate for the situation? So if you meet somebody and they start talking about sex right off the bat, that's not appropriate. I'm sorry, unless you're in a swingers club, right? Unless you're in a place that promotes sex, it's not appropriate to talk right about sex right away, right? It's not appropriate to cross over and touch somebody before you know them. So it's a second thing we look for, boundaries. So we look for whether appropriateness of speech, appropriateness of movement with respect to boundaries. Does the person respect my boundaries? That's his arm on the mill with you with the positive mind. Now you're going to have to get some paper. Do you have paper? Because I won't move until you get paper. I won't teach you anything until you get paper because I want to teach you my big trick. And we're going to do this with your calls today. So here's what I need you to record on a piece of paper. How many of you would like to go find some paper somewhere? Paper and pad, make it a much bigger experience. There's going to be a number of things that are going to be done. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to say to you, would you please cooperate with this, friends? Get yourself a pad. Get yourself a pen. Right? And get ready to write. And, in fact, go get it. We're going to take 30 seconds while you look. This is go find a pad music. Not to confuse anybody, we're not on a break. This is just, he's saying, go find a pen, go find a pad. That means you just got it, right? Yeah, 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 yeah. Here we go. Question number one. If you were an animal, what would you be? Think about an animal. If you were an animal, what would you be? Now, my friends, you could write this down and you could use this for the rest of your life talking to people. If you were an animal, what would you be? And so what would you be? A dog, a cat, a cow, a shark? A falcon, right? You didn't think of falcon before, did you? Bird, right? Something. Now, you may think first about a type of animal, like a bird or a fish. But break it down to a specific animal. If you were an animal, what would you be like? Like, would you be a bear? Right? Would you be a lion? Would you be a gorilla? What would you be? Now, the next part, now that you've written down that word, do you have that word written down? If you were an animal, what would you be? Write that word. Under that, I want three words to describe that animal. Now, listen, you're going to be calling in with this, and this is going to be fascinating to you. So I suggest you do it, and if you don't call in, still do it anyway, because you're going to enjoy it. All right? Three words to describe it. Now, the three words to describe the animal. So, for example, if you pick bird, you might have said majestic. You might have said free. You might have said soaring. You might have said feathery. You could have said anything about a bird. That's one. You're picking your animal. You have three words to describe your animal. Next, my friend, I want you to think, what is your favorite color? Now, I know it's hard for many people to pick a favorite color because they have different colors that that come to mind. But pick your favorite color. Just first thing that comes to your mind. Is it going to be red? Is it going to be orange? Is it going to be magenta? What's it going to be? Blue? What's your color going to be? And give me three words to describe this color. Like the properties of this color. This color is serene. This color is exciting, this color is, well, you know, properties of color. Three words to describe the color. If you just tuned in, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're doing a learning about yourself experience, which we will follow through. After 12:30, we'll be taking phone calls. 1:30, we'll be taking phone calls. And we'll be working with this with you, and I'll be teaching you what I know about this. Terrific about how you can see things about yourself. So the second thing you're doing is color. Color, three words to describe your favorite color. Do you have those? I see a nod, Good. Now the last one I'm going to ask you about is water. Your favorite body of water. Now a body of water could be anything. It could be a bottle of water. It could be a glass of water. It could be something small. It could be an ocean. It could be, but it could be tiny. It could be a puddle. It could be a mud puddle. Just when you think of a body of water, which one of those really, really feels right to you? Which one of those? What's your body of water? Now that you've got your body of water, give me three words to describe your body of water. Three words. And they may be anything. It could be anything at all that you pick. By the way, whatever comes to your mind is right, even if it doesn't sound like it's a water word. It may not be an aquatic reference, and yet it's a word that you picked. Okay, this is Armand DeMille with you. Now, many of you who have seen me go this far are regretting that you didn't do it at the beginning. And so you're saying, gee, I wish I had started doing this at the beginning that he could do it right now, because I'm going to give you just enough time to do it between now and our break. We're going to have enough time so that when we go to your calls, I will give you interpretations based on this, which are fun. Fun, and that you could use in your life. This is Armand DeMille. We're trying to teach you stuff about psychology. It's amazing. You'll be able to meet somebody when you get an interviewer who's interviewing you. And eventually, in a casual conversation, you'll be able to say to them, and what's your favorite body of water? And you'll know all about them. There are things you'll know about them, which I'll explain to you later, which you would have never known. So here we go again. We're going to start again from the beginning, your favorite animal, and three words to describe your favorite animal. The second thing you chose is your favorite color. Three words to describe your favorite color. You write those down, please. And then finally, your favorite body of water, and three words to describe your favorite body of water. And we're going to play with this with your calls today. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to, today we're also going to make mention of the death of somebody very special. Ali Abkar Khan. Akbar Khan. Died yesterday, I think. And he was one of the great, great, remarkable, genius musicians in this world. I played you his music before, so in honor of him today, I want to, he's 87 years old. He was in Berkeley, wasn't he, when he died? In the Bay Area. Yeah. And he just a really special musician who knew how to reach out and touch people's souls through his music. And it's just a remarkable thing to hear people like this who are so special, who bring us a gift and leave the gift behind. So we will always have the gift of this music. You know, like Bach and Chopin and people like that who have left beautiful things behind. Here is, we're going to be playing some of this for you today. Okay, so this is Armand DeMille with you. With The Positive Mind, we're talking today about getting to know people and getting to know yourself. Instead of doing a deep psychiatric analysis of yourself or an Enneagram test of yourself, here's another tool that's just a fun tool. We're going to talk about the three ways, three things, color, water, and animal. Or animal, color, and water. We're going to ask you about three characteristics for each. And then you're going to write down these three characteristics, and then you're going to be calling us today at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. So we'll be, when we get back from our break, which is after I play Ali Abkar Khan music, after that, I'm going to be taking your calls. This is Armand DeMille with you. Nice to be back with you, my friends. We'll be with you today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Just loving to bring you stuff that helps you feel a little better in life. We're going to take a short break when we come back, a little music, and then we will continue with our theme.
We are Soweto Gospel Choir. And you are listening to BAI New York, BAI New York, San Bonani.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
Lullaby from the album Journey, J-O-R-J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, by Ali Akbar Khan. I guess there's going to be a rush on that album. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. It always touches me when I hear that, you know, and many of you have heard me, been with me. So that's Ali Akbar Khan, who died at the age of 87 and has left us a wonderful, wonderful gift. 212-209-2900. Would you make a call? Let's get on the air and let's talk about your color, your animal, and your water. Now, in case you're just trying to make contact with me and say hello, if you want to say a fast hello, say a fast hello. But I'm not going to go into any depth because I want to do some of the exploring with this. All right, let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, Armand?
Yes.
Hi, it's Doreen. How you doing?
Hello, Doreen.
Hi, I called you recently, a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, so...
What's your favorite animal, Doreen?
Definitely a lion.
You're a lion. Okay, tell me three qualities about that lion.
Okay, brave, fierce. I even had, four, beautiful and majestic.
No, I need three. See, now there it is.
Okay,
right.
All right.
Brave?
Brave, fierce, beautiful.
Beautiful, and she doesn't know her limits. You can think of four and five, right?
Yeah.
Brave, fierce, and beautiful. Okay, what's your favorite color?
Violet. And I put a pretty, spiritual, and I couldn't think of a word for this, but it kind of like draws you in.
And inductive, how's that for a word?
Yeah, okay.
Seductive, okay. Is that good?
Yeah, okay, sure.
But you don't want it to be sexual. You want it... Seductive means invites you.
Right, right. Yeah.
Inviting.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, now your body of water.
Okay, ocean.
Ocean, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exciting, peaceful, mysterious.
All right, here we go. Mysterious, all right. Now, can we go anywhere with this? It's all right, Doreen? We can take a journey into the inner psyche of Doreen.
Yeah, sure.
Your animal, brave, fierce, beautiful, right?
Right.
Right? Make a sound for that animal. Yeah, right. That sounds like you.
Yeah.
This describes, according to this theory, your inner nature. This says, you know, if people really wanted to know you, Doreen, the thing they would want to know about you is that this is really you. You are brave, you are fierce, and you are beautiful. And you're a lioness.
Right.
Right? And you should know the ferocity of Doreen. Don't expect her to be no rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
Don't expect her to be any puppy dog or any pussycat.
Right.
She's a lion. And if you want to futz around with somebody and fool around with them and take advantage of them, you better be careful, because if you do that with Doreen, she's going to rip your heart out and she's going to eat it.
Sometimes. Right.
But it's true, right? You're nobody to be messed with.
Yeah, no, if I'm pushed.
Do you have anybody that you love and protect? Like children, a dog, a cat?
No. God,
birds.
Nephews.
Nephews, right?
Little dog, and even my my significant other, probably.
You're a protector, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so now here we have you, a fierce protector. So if anything would ever happen on this planet where we're going to have teams, I want Doreen on my team. Right? She's the one over there with the long hair, right? The one with the mane. Okay, she's my mane lady. M-A-N-E. Okay, now color, it's very interesting. Violet. Pretty, spiritual, inviting. The color always reflects, get ready for this, Doreen, what you're not, but what you want people to think you are.
Okay.
You want people to think you're pretty, you want people to think you're spiritual, and you want people to see you as inviting. But what they don't know is that you're fierce and you're brave and you're beautiful in force. So you are using or you are trying to develop a soft side of you to get to people. But that's just not a real you.
Right.
The real you is the fierce you. Mm. Now, you see how those two get into conflict sometimes.
Yes.
Because, you know, I mean, here you are, a lion who is saying, don't mess with me, and you want to be spiritual, which means, oh, I'm not attached to anything, but basically in your nature, you don't want to be messed with.
Yeah.
How are we doing so far?
Yeah, good.
Okay, now we go to the good one, water.
Okay.
Your body of water is an ocean.
Right.
Right? Describe an ocean to me. I mean, you gave me three words, and you say it's big, right? What is it? It's exciting, right?
Right.
You love an ocean.
Yes.
You ever go to the ocean?
Oh, I love it.
Where do you go?
I love the shore. Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore. Do you get those waves coming in from over there? Do you see England on the other side?
Yeah. I've been on the, what's that called? The English Channel? Wow.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Gorgeous. Yeah,
really. We used to, when I was a kid, we'd go down to the ocean, and we'd go down to Coney Island, and my grandmother would say, that's England over there. And she'd point all the way over to somebody. There's probably a boat, you know.
Right.
Okay. It says forceful, exciting, yet it's peaceful to you, the ocean.
Because when it's calm, when there's not the heavy-duty waves, it's very, very peaceful.
And what about the mysteriousness of it?
You just can't really figure it out. You just look at it and you're like, where are these waves coming from? Where are they going? How
All right, now you get that last phrase.
Uh-huh.
Your attitude towards water describes your attitude towards sex.
Hmm. Okay.
So here we go. Sex. What does sex mean to you? Where are these waves coming from? Right? It's mysterious. It's beautiful. It's like really deep and it's very, very exciting and it makes me very peaceful.
Oh. Okay.
How does that fit?
I like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So you're a lion.
Yeah.
Who likes, to go to the water.
I'm also a Leo. Yeah.
So that's our experiment today. So here we have, the animal is showing you who you are, basically, your basic nature. The mm-hmm. color shows you your imitation nature, the color, the mask that you put up. And the water shows you your attitude towards sex. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing?
Very, yeah.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for cooperating, Doreen.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
212-209-2900. That's one. Let's keep going. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900. We are taking your call. Sometimes you got to wait
so long.
Hi there. Who is this?
This is Anna.
Hello, Anna.
How are you?
Good.
Great show.
Thank you. This is my animal.
My first animal is lion, female, royal, and smart.
Okay.
Then my colors are lavender, clouds, and satin. Satin clouds.
Now, wait a minute.
Okay.
Lavender, three characteristics of lavender?
Are cloud-like.
Cloud-like.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And the other character is satin. Satin clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Lavender.
And what else?
That's it. That's what I got for lavender.
You just got two things.
Okay, then the third one is strings.
Strings for lavender.
Yeah, stringy. Like.
Okay, like go ahead. Like go ahead. Tell me about stringy. So lavender is kind of amorphous. It's kind of smooth, and you slide into it, and it's cloud-like, but you can't grab onto it.
Right, it's soft.
It's very, very soft, right?
Right.
Very different than the lion, who is royal and very smart and very female.
Right.
So if somebody looked at your lavender when you showed them your lavender, if you said to them, here, look at my lavender, this is me, they would say, oh, she's very soft, and she's very easy, and she's just... I wonder why I can't touch her, because I put my hand, it's like a cloud. You know, look, she's very soft, but she's kind of stringy. She's moving away. I don't understand it, because what they don't understand is that the lavender is your fraud. That's your flag that you throw up. That's what you tell them to look at.
That's the disguise.
That's the disguise, because underneath it, what they don't see is a very potent, regal female.
Right.
Who is smarter than most people she meets.
Right.
But she doesn't want to show it, right?
Right.
Yep.
And water is aqua green ocean.
Aqua green ocean. All right.
From high in the sky, if you were flying high.
Wait, say it again. So the ocean as perceived from an elevated place.
Yes, so that you could see all of it.
So you could see all of the ocean. The vastness of the ocean.
The vastness.
Okay, so give me the three words for the vastness of the ocean.
Okay. One is pink beach. That's two words, pink beach.
Okay, but let's include it, pinkness. Let's call it pinkness.
Okay. And that beach is really, the third word is crest.
Crest.
Crest around the ocean, a border.
Okay. And is there a third thing?
And the other one is whispers.
Oh, boy, that's pretty beautiful. Okay, so here we have your sexuality. We have pinkness, which I'm not going to go into detail about, but certainly pinkness seems appropriate, right, for
right.
sexuality, doesn't it?
Right, right.
Right, and then we have this beautiful thing about whispers. The whispers of sex. Jesus, what's your name?
Anna.
Anna, what a beautiful expression, the whispers of sex. You know, it's a beautiful thing. They are whispers. Because
right.
It's not just in the statements that true sexuality emerges, but it's in the whispers. Nice.
Very
and
nice.
Then the third part of it is the crest, the big stuff.
Right.
The big part of it, right? So that's it. That's what we got for you.
Well, I'm pretty good today, then.
Not bad.
Okay,
not
nice.
Bad, except when, you know, I'll tell you something.
What?
Here's my question to you.
What?
Your father.
Yes.
Did he like you being female?
He couldn't see me, really. He's alcoholic, so
yeah.
He really didn't see me.
He didn't see you in any
Maybe
way.
Maybe that's the ocean scene.
That's
Florida.
Yeah, well, that's the lavender, you see. The lavender you was what you meant to do to deal with your father.
I see.
Because to you, your father saw everything lavender. He saw it cloud-like. He was in a stupor.
Right.
You became his stupor.
Hey, cool.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yes, it does make sense. But what he didn't know is that you're smart, that you're regal, and that you're very female and very powerful.
Thank you.
I'm sorry for him. He didn't know that part of you.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. It's a little game, my friends. Please don't use it maliciously on people. Don't use it as a trick. Don't point to people and go, aha, you see? Don't do that. Be gentle. But you could use it in your parlor. Who's got a parlor? Where's my parlor? 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, hello.
Hey, hello to you.
How are you doing?
Good. Who is this?
This is Patrick from Jersey City.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
Your animal?
Great white shark.
A great white shark. Three words to describe Patrick the great white shark.
Fast.
You are fast.
Powerful.
Powerful you be.
The next word I really couldn't articulate.
Good. Describe it.
Well, insomniac, or just the fact that they really don't sleep. They just continue to...
just keep on going. Keep on trucking. Getting through. Never stop. Do sharks ever sleep? I'm curious about that. How would they sleep? You think they put their head on a pillow? You think they find an octopus to lay their head on? And, you know, how does a shark sleep?
Maybe they just go real fast and then just coast until they stop and then start swimming again.
Is that what you do?
I think so, a little bit.
You go real, real fast, and then you're going so fast that you don't even recognize that you're there anymore, and this way you could rest in between, right? But it's not real sleep, but you're just a powerful animal who keeps on moving. Very hard to find girl sharks like that, you know? I mean, you could find them. But they're only there temporarily because you're moving on. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Yeah, you're a moving on great white shark. Who could, they don't get, you ever see a wedding ring on a great white shark? Never. You know? Never. What's your color?
Blue.
You see, now look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Tell me about the color blue. Three words.
Cool. Wet.
Wet.
And fluid.
And fluid. Now look, this is very closely related to your shark, with only one thing different between the two. That's your teeth. Nobody knows. See, you're presenting this very cool, calm kind of guy. And what people don't know is that you're really a very strong force. And if you need to be, all you care about is getting through, you know, and moving on to the next thing. So you cover the power of your animal. So are you a cool guy?
I don't know.
Would you rather be a cool guy than a great white shark?
Well, I think I'm cool in the sense of I don't have a temper.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think sharks have tempers either. You know, I don't think they have a temper.
Yeah.
They have kind of a, you got an attitude, let me talk to you. But they don't have a temper. They just know that if they needed to, they could really fight. What about your water, your body of water now? With those three things, we got a shark in the cool, and we got the blue. Let's see what water you picked.
Well, this was interesting because I got a clear vision of a beach, the Inkwell in Oak Bluffs, Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. And there's one part where there's a lot of seaweed on that beach, and there's one part where if you just get past this little patch of seaweed, there's a very nice sandbank, a sandbar, I should say. And so it brought me, like, right to that specific location.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? So you got to get past the seaweed to get to the sandbar. But when you get to that sandbar, it's perfection, right?
Yeah.
Okay, think about sex that way. Sex is a lot about seaweed, right? And you have all the seaweed all over the place. There's smells and there's stringy stuff and touchy stuff and there's icky stuff and good stuff. But you got to get past all of that. But when you get past it, you get to the sandbar and you rest. And you really could rest. Now, this is very, very important for Patrick, the great white shark. Because the great white shark can never stop unless he could find the sandbar. And he's looking for his sandbar. You know?
Mm. Very interesting.
Very interesting, Patrick. Thank you for calling in.
Thank
you. Sure. Time for one more. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another caller. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. And you know, if you folks don't get through and you want to send it to me an email, it would be fun. I'll take your email, armand@thepositivemind.com. A-R-M-A-N-D. One more call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there. There we are. I'll take that. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hey, Armand. This is Thomasina.
Hello, Thomasina. Turn down the radio, Thomasina.
Okay. I turned it down. Here
okay,
I am.
Let's move. We got an animal.
A gazelle.
Oh, boy. Beautiful.
And,
give me three words.
The three words I have are graceful,
mm-hmm.
flexible, free.
Ah, do you dance?
I love dancing.
I thought so. It's
if
obvious,
I even
right?
I have a poem, I want to dance the day I die.
Yeah, of course you're a dancer. You're a gazelle. What more do we expect? We have to be geniuses to figure this out about you. Beautiful, Thomasina. What about your color?
My color, intense, solid, royal, is now, purple. The color is purple.
Purple, and it's intense, it's solid, and it's royal. So here we have a very fluid gazelle who everybody thinks does not recognize that she is so much in motion that you can never tie her down. And that what she wants to present to you is that she's very solid. She's going to give you this deep color about herself, right? And you're going to see that, but you have to keep in mind she's a gazelle. If you're going to love Thomasina, remember the dancer that she is and never take away her shoes.
I just am moved by that.
Of course you are.
Because
moved meaning that your heart cracks open when you think about that struggle.
And you do that often, Armand. I listen to you faithfully, except when I'm not home. But you do that often because you get to the core of it all.
Yeah.
And the other thing, the body of water is the ocean. And I have for the ocean majestic, powerful, soothing, / timeless.
Well, you know, for dancers, I guess making love or sex must be timeless in many ways. The only way that it could be enjoyed. Not that it could be enjoyed if it has limitations on it. So I would expect little else other than that description of the water for you. Thomasina?
Well, yes, sir?
Thanks for coming in here today.
Hey, thank you, Armand. You're just so magnificent. Because you just get to where it's all real.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's my blessing.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. Ali Akbar Khan. And I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Again, thanks to all of you who joined me during the workshop. I'd love to have an email from you. Love to all of you. I'll be back tomorrow at 1.
Akbar Khan.